Don't read the questions as yet. Don't cheat. So the point of this tonight's study is adoption. And I suppose as a summary, I think you've previously studied regeneration. You've previously studied justification. And now the next in sequence is adoption. Regeneration is something that happens within. Justification is something that is your appearance and standing before God. And then adoption is more about relationships. Okay? Now then, so that's where we're going with this, and it's to help us understand our own faith, our own experience of the gospel. So I don't want you to write out, because I was thinking about it, there's not much to write. Put yourself on the playground, however many years it was. Place yourself back as a child on the playground. What's the kind of thing a child would say about adoption? Because I think the world would hold to those views. I know we don't. But what kind of thing would a child say about adoption? Anyone want to hazard it? Or volunteer an answer?
What age?
Say what?
What age?
Well, playgrounds. Let me put it like this. Yeah, thank you, Phil. Let me put it like this. My brother often told me I was adopted. And there was a scarcity of photos of me as a child. So I believed him. But what was the point of my brother telling me that? Exactly. You're rejected. You're perhaps of no value. And people hold it against those who are adopted. That's the childish view of adoption. I think some people out there now may still hold those childish views. I know from the fact that Mike and Claudia have experienced adoption. And is it Hannah, is it Mark, her husband? You know, they've had adoption, and we, as a church, love, what's happened in those lives. I think we have a positive outlook on it. But what we want to look at now is, what's the biblical view on it? We can like adoption, but do we know why we like it? And why does it matter to us as Christians? So without looking at the sheets, because this is supposed to be interactive, think of what passage springs to mind. Because at the end of the day, you are Christians, supposedly. You've come here on a Tuesday meeting. You should know your Bible. Where would you turn? Well, Sharon remembers what she read 2 minutes ago. John, what?
Romans 8.
Romans 8, thank you. Any other? Galatians 4, they're all correct answers. There's no right or wrong answer.
Yeah,
right, Beth. But the whole point of tonight is that you get to grips with this. You know, I'm not just spoon feeding you the answers. So turn to your sheets, and there's a question there. Where do we learn of adoption in the Bible? So, if someone could please turn to John 1, verse 12, and if someone would volunteer to read that for us, please.
Yet to all who have received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God.
Thank you. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Thank you, Mike. And it's interesting, isn't it? And John puts that right at the beginning of his gospel, at a point where he's mentioning about Jesus, but that's just as vital, this doctrine of adoption. So believe me, it's very important to the gospel, the doctrine of adoption. Okay, then, the problem with... Is there any spare sheets?
Yes, plenty.
Thank you, Dave. So let's read now John 8, verse 41. Romans 8. And that's Mark, you can read this as it's, you mentioned it.
For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption into sonship. And by him we Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory.
Thank you. Now the question that follows from that, it's an obvious one. We're adopted, but who is our father? Because you're too embarrassed, because it's so easy. It's God, isn't it? But it's God, and we can call him Abba, Father. Moving on to then, what is the opposite of adoption? Without looking at your sheets or the answers in the Bible, what do you think is the opposite of adoption?
Rejection.
Sorry?
Hate.
Yeah. No. Yeah, hated by... Well, I know what you mean.
He says in John about him being a child and God being your father, or actually Satan's your father as well.
Lloyd's been sneaking answers there. He's been... No, yeah. So let's look at the answers. What is the... let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. Now, who here has an ESV translation or something different to the NIV? Johan. So, Johan, if you can read Ephesians 2, verses, 1 to 3... And then chapter 5, verse 6. And give us a chance, because I need to turn to it as well. Okay.
And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work, the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and we are by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind.
Thank you. And then chapter 5, verse 6.
Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience.
So what is the opposite of adoption? What have we read there? What are those sons called? Sorry, children of wrath and sons of disobedience. And that is what everyone else is who is not adopted into God's family. And you could say, Dave, they are hated. They are under wrath, aren't they, from God for their sins. Dead in their trespasses. So we've looked at, in question 1 and 2, or those passages, that we're adopted into God's family, and God is our Father. sons of disobedience, who is their father? And Lloyd can read this. John chapter 8, verse 42 to 44. Sorry, 41 to 44.
41 to 44.
Yeah.
You are doing what your father does. We weren't born of sexual immorality, they said. We have one father, God. Jesus said to them, if you were your father, you would love me, because I came from God and I am here. For I didn't come on my own, but he sent me. Why don't you understand what I say? Because you cannot listen to my words. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he tells a lie, he speaks of his own nature, because he is a liar and the father of lies.
Thank you. So it's clear, isn't it, that their father is the devil. And I find it interesting that he's a murderer and the father of lies. And everyone who has a violent temperament, they get it from their father. Everyone who is deceptive, deceives themselves, gets it from their father. The fact that they use adoption as a bad thing, you could say it's the father of lies feeding into that, trying to knock the gospel and its truth. So that's the basics. Let me ask you this then. When adopted by God, who else are we then related to? Again, without looking at the passage, what do you think the answer might be?
Everyone else is adopted.
Thank you, Mark. But who does that include?
Everywhere.
Okay, let me ask you this. Everywhere. Would you like to extend it any further? Sorry?
Those that have gone to heaven.
Thank you. So, shall we ask this question? How big is this family?
Revelation says a great multitude.
Yeah. What I will read now... Romans 9, verse 7 to 8. Romans 9, verse 7 to 8. Beth, have you got it?
Yeah.
Swat. Only joking. If you could read it, please.
And not all are children of Abraham, because they are his offspring, but through Isaac shall your offspring be named. This means that it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as offspring. For this is what the promise said, about this time next year I will return, and Sarah shall have a son.
Thank you. What I found... that hit me, actually, when reading this Wayne Grudem's systematic theology, is that, as Ruth said, the promise goes all the way back to Abraham and then Isaac, and it is therefore all people as far back who have believed in that promise. That is the family. So, all who are adopted everywhere, but as far back in time as you can think. You know, we're in family with the likes of David, King David, Moses, and the like. You know, that's quite a thing to grasp, really. That it's an amazing family, isn't it?
Just to link the two together, thinking about that little Rebecca,
yeah,
and that family, yeah, out there, you know, and we should not just think, you know, they are, if it was your own family in the church, would be
Well, I'm glad you raised that, because the whole point of this topic, I suppose, is for us to grasp the aspect of family. And, you know, if you were to lose someone, or if your family lost you, as a Christian, the support network is, you've got other brothers and sisters, you know, and they are closer, or should be closer, than your own relatives. I know I see you guys more than I see my own siblings. So, you know, should we lose someone dear to us? Well, you're not alone, you know. And, yeah, to think as well, what a great multitude, as Lloyd has said, that will be in heaven as one big family. It is quite reassuring. Okay, then, well, of the above passages, what do you notice about these readings? Did the doctrine of adoption exist before the New Testament, I suppose? They're all New Testament passages, aren't they? So do you think adoption existed in the Old Testament? Sorry? There's a few nods. We're not too sure on this one.
One or two particular ones. It was the one that had a hoary foot, gave
it the Yeah, thank you, Ruth. Well, the
he was adopted by David.
You haven't got a reading as such, because Wayne Grudem says this. Paul explains that his status of adoption as God's children was not fully realized in the Old Covenant. But it goes on to say, this is not to say that the Old Testament completely omitted talk of God as our Father. For God did call himself the Father of the children of Israel and call them his children in several places. And there's references to the Psalms, Isaiah and Malachi. But even though there was a consciousness of God as Father to the people of Israel, the full benefits and privileges of membership in God's family and the full realization that membership did not come until Christ came and the Spirit of the Son of God was poured into our hearts, bearing witness. So the answer is yes, but not fully. But I have thought as well, like Ruth has mentioned, there are examples of adoption in the Old Testament. God has prepared us to accept the gospel and to accept this doctrine. So let me ask you this then. What Old Testament examples can you think of? Well, actually, any example in the Bible of adoption.
So have it.
Moses, thank you. So Moses there was placed in the reeds and then he was treated like a king, wasn't he? And brought up like a king. Again, perhaps a reflection of the benefits that come with adoption. Anyone else?
Circumcision, when they were taken under the Jewish, became members of the Jewish family.
Yes, yes, thank you. There's that. Anyone else? I'm thinking more particularly people that may have been adopted in the Bible.
Would you think of someone like Ruth, someone outside, the Jewish family?
Yeah, I suppose, Gareth. I haven't got all the answers. I haven't vetoed every character in the Bible, but...
why not?
Right, step outside. Yeah, no, I've got a few more examples, unless you get these ones. No, anyone else?
Samuel,
thank you. In that he was dedicated, given over, and then brought up, dedicated to God. Again, you could see the mirror, how you know, perhaps loosely, but we're not left fumbling for examples, are we? God's definitely prepared us for this doctrine, I believe, in a simple way. Anyone else?
David and Jonathan, they adopted one another as brothers, didn't they?
Well, I suppose the similarity is brothers, you know, in Christ, perhaps the sibling element there. Shall I tell you my examples? Anyone thought of Rahab, who, after showing her allegiance to Israel, was adopted by Israel, the whole nation, bringing her into the family, so to speak, and treated her as her own? And who else thought of Esther, whose parents, I don't know, can't recall what actually happened to her parents, but adopted by Mordecai and brought up and cared for? And what about Jesus, who was, in effect, adopted by Joseph, even though Jesus was not of his seed, but born of the Spirit? I just thought I'd put it out there for you to think about. Let's move on, though. How do we know if we are adopted? How do we know if we are adopted? Again, without looking at the passage, Bethan, what would you say, how do we know we are adopted?
We have the Spirit.
Well, there we are. There is another SWAT in the class. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 to 7. And Phil, don't worry. Has anyone got Galatians 4? Sharon?
But when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has
thank you. So the Holy Spirit testifies in our hearts that we are adopted. If we can say Abba Father, it's because the Holy Spirit has convinced us we can say it. And I found that passage quite helpful for anyone who doubts their own, their profession of faith. Next question. When will we be adopted? When will we be adopted? Again, what do you think the answer might be? Do you think it's now? Do you think it's future? There's two answers there. Which one would you pluck for? Okay, yeah, before, I suppose, yeah. There's an element of both now to that question, you know, and looking to the future. You know, as soon as you become a Christian, you're adopted, aren't you? But in these passages we'll look at, there's an element of, we probably don't fully grasp our adoption until later. So let's look at 1 John verse...
We accept it just like the Lord Amelia does.
Yeah.
She doesn't fully understand until she's older, does she? In that sense, the fullness of her adoption. I'm thinking on an earthly.
Yeah. Let's read the passages, and I'll address that point in a minute, but I'm grateful. I do want to address it. Well, 1 John 3, verse 2. It's only a short verse, if I remember. It says this, "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And then if we take the next verse, Romans 8:23. Could someone read that for me, please? Romans 8:23.
Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, grown inwardly, as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies.
Thank you. So there's an element we are adopted now, like 1 John 3 says, but like Romans 8 says, we're still inwardly groaning for that to be fully realised. How...
Is there like a past aspect to it?
Oh yeah,
just
yeah.
In the sense of Ephesians 1:5, he predestined us to be adopted, and to us to be adopted as sons.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue. It's backed up by the Bible. You know, I suppose, yeah.
It's just like Jesus, yesterday, today and forever. Our adoption is yesterday, today and forever.
Yeah. Do you think, you know, we often talk about being born again. Do you think we are born again into this family? Okay, let me ask you this. Do you think adoption is done through being born again?
Yes.
And the reason I'm asking you before we look at the passage is to test your mind. The answer is no. Okay? That we are born again and become a new creation, yeah? But actually, adoption, if you think about it, Amelia wasn't born again into Mike and Claudie's family. She was adopted. She was grown up a little bit before she was adopted. And therefore, the Bible says it's through faith you are adopted. It's not, you're not born again into it. So I think...
But it's faith you are for being born again.
Yeah, I know. That there's overlap. But when you think of adoption, you're not born again and born into the family in some ways. The born again is a picture of starting afresh, isn't it? Adopted is a picture of coming into a family. And you come into that family like Melia, like the point you made earlier, yeah, through trust. You're trusting this new father, moving away from a father of lies. So the Father of heaven. So that's what Galatians 3, verse 23 and 26 says. Well,
if we could just explain, if when you accept who Christ is and you invite him into your life, obviously you're becoming part of this great family.
Yeah.
At that point.
Right. So the answer is this. Okay. I think it's worth delving into because you've previously had studies on regeneration. Yes? Born again links with that. Adoption does not. Okay? The New Testament, this is what Wayne Grudem says, connects adoption with saving faith. And that is through our response to trusting in Christ, God has adopted us into his family. And that passage in Galatians 3:23 says, in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. And again, in that passage we read in John 1, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the power to become children of God. These two verses make it clear that adoption follows conversion and is God's response to our faith. It goes on beforehand to say that born again is to do with regeneration, a different doctrine. Okay? So it's just something I thought was worth telling you so that we're clear in our minds and don't make that mistake, okay? And I've put on your sheets there, the next bit, and I'm coming to an end. Actually, I need to speed up. Adoption is distinct from regeneration and justification. I said this at the very beginning, but it's worth remembering. Regeneration is when we are made spiritually alive, something within, and it's to do with that being born again, something within. Justification is our right legal standing, something to do with our appearance before God. But adoption is something added, really, and in many ways could have been unnecessary. God didn't have to do adoption. He could have saved us through the regeneration and justification without going down the route of adoption. But what I've said there is, could have done both without including us in his family. But this will help us realize how amazing adoption is. It is all about our relationship with him. 1 John 3 verse 1 says, "See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are." Yeah, it struck me that he didn't have to do adoption, but he has, because he wants to be called Father, wants us to be his son. Now then, as a spin-off of that, there are benefits and privileges. And I suppose you haven't written anything yet. So just take 2 minutes to try and think what benefits being adopted actually gives us as Christians. And then we'll rattle through the list that I have. There's some obvious ones, and there's some not so. I'm not marking your answers afterwards, so don't worry. Once I do go through them, some of them will be very obvious. Okay, I'm going to stop you now because we're running out of time. Right. Anyone want to shout out any answers, or shall I go through them and you put your hands up if you've got it? Let's do that. And Lloyd, if I see his hand go there, so. The first benefit is obvious in that we can relate to him as a good and loving father. And should have adopted. Yeah, well, thank you. I was number one on the list. Because Matthew 6, verse 9 says, "Our Father who art in heaven." You know, the basic principle, adopted, he's our father. And we can call him that, you know. Number two, when we no longer have that status of slave master, but of sons. Relationship not as a slave to slave master, but child and father. I suppose much the same as the first, really. But thirdly, we can be assured that he loves us. You know, we're adopted, and he loves us. 1 John 3, verse 1, that verse I've put on your sheet. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. Next, fourthly, he understands us. If we're in a family, we can be sure to know that this Father understands us. Psalm 103, verse 13 to 14 says, "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. he remembers that we are dust. Fifthly, he takes care of us. Any hands?
Protection
takes care of us. Matthew 6, verse 32, for the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. The Father knows, basically, and takes care of us. It's the same passage as, the birds don't worry, and neither should you. He gives us good gifts. Anyone put that? He gives us good gifts. And that's the passage in Matthew 7:11. You know, if you are who are evil, know how to give good gifts. What about your heavenly Father? And then a different passage, Luke 11, verse 13, says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So he gives us the Holy Spirit. These are all benefits of being adopted into the family. What other things can you think of? A great inheritance. Well done. Because we become joint heirs with Christ, it says this in Galatians 4:7, and into an inheritance that, 1 Peter 1:4, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. This inheritance is kept for you in heaven. Number 9, member of a royal family. With Jesus is our king, but in Revelation 2 and chapter 3, it says, we are victorious, we reign with him and on his throne with him. I like this next one. Angels. Angels are sent to minister to us and serve us. How many of you thought that was a benefit of adoption? Well, it says in Hebrews 1:14, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? And I suppose inherit comes with, your family, doesn't it? You don't inherit from a slave to slave master. Forgiveness. And Wayne Grudem says this, the passage, Matthew 6:9-12, the Lord's Prayer, is give us this day our daily bread. It's a daily request to God. And what Wayne Grudem says, it's like a son asking for the father to restore the relationship when we've slipped up every day. It's not asking God for that one-time forgiveness that comes with justification. And so as a family, as adopted sons and daughters, we can make that prayer, asking to restore that relationship. Guidance. Romans 8:14, we are led by the Spirit of God. All who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. I've only got two more. Discipline. You may not think that was a benefit, but in Hebrews 12, it says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. And then I've got verses for these ones. 14, relationship with others are far deeper. It says, Wayne Grudem says, more intimate than that of angels have with each other. And we call each other brothers and sisters. I perhaps need to think about that a bit more. That you are closer to me than my own siblings. And then finally, joy of working with each other, not against, no competition. We're a family after all. And that's a benefit that we're not, as the world is, fighting each other, competing. We should be in unity. And that's a benefit and a blessing. That's it. I hope I've given you enough to make you think and dwell. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this doctrine. And Lord, maybe we didn't fully understand it before now. We knew it was something good because you devised it. But Lord, help us to be enriched by this doctrine now. Apply it to our lives. Treat our brothers and sisters as a family. Love each other. Love you. That forgiveness, the ability to call you Father, and to ask for that relationship to be restored day after day. Lord, we just praise you for thinking of a gospel that has no holes in it, that is bulletproof. And it truly is right to call you a loving and good Father. We thank you for the privilege of not just treating us as a slave, but as a son and daughter that you care for and look after. In Jesus' name, amen.